from the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the Colossians, is he's trying to help them understand what it means as they are new Christians and just learning about this faith that they are trying to live out. So Paul writes, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against each other, well, forgive each other, just as God has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. To talk with you a bit more about what I just talked with the children about. And for those of you who maybe aren't used to being at a worship service where I preach, let me just share with you in advance that when I ask questions, I really am asking the questions. They aren't rhetorical. And I really am looking for everybody to pitch in and give me your thoughts, because I find that for me, worship is much more helpful when it's participative, when we're all a part of it, when we're all sharing whatever God is speaking to us about, whatever we've learned already in our faith, in our journeys of faith. So it is that time again, December 30th, when I'm guessing that maybe you're starting to think about the coming year. You know, I put my newspaper in this morning and there was 2019, a year in preview, as if anyone can really know what the next year is going to be like, right? Especially in these times when it feels like every day you turn on the TV and all of a sudden there's something new that's happened that you wouldn't have expected. But it's also the time of year that some of us do that annual tradition of making resolutions. Anyone here ever made a New Year's resolution? Anyone here still making New Year's resolutions? Okay, some people are not. I am one of those people who still does. And I'm one of those people who's still not always very successful on following through. But it's just a way, I think, to remind myself of, hey, there's some things you still need to do. There's some things you still want to do. Let's get moving. You know, time is truly flying faster and faster as I'm getting older. So let's get going. So rather, though, than going into 2019 the same way that I typically do, which is, yeah, write the list. Yeah, you know, some of the stuff that I'm guessing, oh, it'd be nice to lose 5 pounds. It'd be nice to go do this more often. I should exercise more often. I really should. You know, I should exercise more often. I should eat more healthfully, a little less ice cream, a little more kale or broccoli or whatever. Spiritually, I should pray more often. I should take time to read the Bible more often. I should read other wonderful theologians and teachers about life journey who've gone through these amazing faith journeys. I should read what they have to offer. And I don't do that nearly as often as I should. So this year, I'm going to try to do better. But like always, you know, I was sharing with Andy, sometimes I get home from a 10, 11-hour work day, and I just want to sit on the couch and do nothing. And those 10 and 11-hour work days go into each other, and then the weekend comes, and there's a house to be cleaned, and there are these new puppies that are, you know, needing some training and work, and outside a lot as we're house training them. You know, there's these things that keep getting in the way, that I keep letting get in the way, of me changing. So as I read and chose the scripture for today, and this is the lectionary reading, it reminded me, this was the reading that I picked. My husband and I each picked a reading to be read at our wedding. I picked this one, the Colossians 3 reading. So I'm not going to read the whole thing to you again, but let me just share a few parts with you that really spoke to me and still do. Clothe yourself, surround yourself is another way of saying that. Surround who you are with compassion, with kindness, with humility, and meekness and patience. Put up is another way of saying bear. Put up with one another. Live with one another. Tolerate one another. Whatever you want to say. I know bear is an odd word for the kids to hear. They're thinking there's no bear in here. And if someone has an issue, someone has a problem with the other person, well, do your best to forgive each other. Again, surround yourself with love, because love will bring everything together in harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Peace, what a word these days. Anyone feel peaceful often as you turn on the evening news or open up your newspaper or drive? You do, Maggie. What great for you. Yeah? So, yeah, giving up the news. Sometimes that's a way of definitely finding peace. I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm also a Star Trek fan. I give up. I don't pick one over the other. I love them both. But in the latest Star Wars movie, Luke, who was always my favorite, he finds peace by literally turning off the news, by going off to an island far, far away, in a galaxy far, far away, and just retreating into a state of peaceful being. But not all of us can do that, right? We are sometimes where we are in the midst of all of this. So I thought about, what do we do with this? This New Year's time, how do we look to the future? How do we look to 2019? What do we want it to be, both outside of ourselves and internally? So let me ask you, if you could get that magic wand that I still haven't found and make a change in the world for 2019, what is the change you would make? So really, save the environment and grow those trees that are going to help us have that clean air and the clean water. What other changes would you make? Listen without judgment. For people to just be able to listen to each other, and rather than putting each other into boxes that are often negative boxes. What other changes? Yes. Yeah, have people respect each other's lives. The senseless killings that are happening all over the world right now. Yes, Joan. What a beautiful, yeah. See, each of us is each other is God's special beloved child. Each one of us is God's special beloved child. Yes. Ah, yes, not only acting for today, but remembering that whatever actions we take today are going to impact the generations after us on and on. I have to admit, I don't have grandchildren yet. I'm hoping one day I will, but I'm also looking at this world going, wow, how can we make this a better place for them to be born into? So let's take that, those wishes and those thoughts, and I'm sure many of you have others in your hearts and mind too, for yourself in 2019, what would you want to change about you? And I'm talking spiritually here, more so than exercising more or eating more kale or any of that stuff. But to make yourself a better Christian, how would you change yourself? I'm working on generosity myself. Yes, Joan. Not to judge by the color. Okay. That's a great one. Yeah, don't. fantastic one. Yeah, getting to know each other, not just because they're dressed a certain way or sitting in a certain place or have a certain whatever, but just getting to know that person. Yes. Enjoy each day as if it is your last. That is a wonderful one, because none of us have any guarantees here of tomorrow. So savor today and fully enjoy it. Other thoughts? What is it you would like to make different or better in yourself in this coming year? You say, I mentioned generosity. You know, I'm at that age where I'm in my late 50s, where I'm starting to think about retirement, and I'm watching my parents in retirement. So I think, well, how much do we need? And how much do we need to save? And, you know, and I was raised with grandparents who had the Great Depression mentality, where you don't throw anything away. And as I'm looking through my house, I was like, oh, wow, it is really cluttered. It is time not to necessarily throw it away, but to find a new home for it, somewhere where it could be used. But also, how do you balance? What is it that I need to have in the bank for my future? And what is it that I need to be willing and able to give away for so many who are in such great need? But 40% of United States, this is just United States, 40% of people would not be able to meet an emergency cost of $400 without going into debt, because they don't have savings. They've been unable to save. You know, so there are a lot of our neighbors living on the edge of crisis. Anything happens, new tires. I mean, new tires alone are going to cost you more than $400. So yeah, finding that generous place. All right, so I'm going to let you say, that's your homework. Keep thinking. But what is it that we need to do to get there? Now, change is interesting, because change is the one thing in life that's constant, right? No matter what we do, no matter how much we try to stop things from changing, they will change. And yet, try changing yourself. Change can be one of the hardest things you can ever do when it comes to yourself. So I was reading through, you know, all the New Year's stuff and all, but some of the research, like how can you change? How can you change something about yourself? What is it that works in that process? Now, a lot of people fail when they try to change because they try to do it all at once. Like, okay, I am going to, and I'll use diet because that's the one that's most out there. You know, I'm going to lose 50 pounds and I'm going to go on this really strict diet. And I'm going to start on it January 1st and I'm not going to leave it. And so they take themselves from eating anything and everything to eating 800 calories a day of, and again, I'm not a kale fan. That's why I keep picking on it. I do like broccoli, but kale and broccoli and carrots, you know, and just this. And 90-odd percent of people who try to do that will fail in less than a week. It just can't. It's time to, like, say, oh, I want to run a marathon. So let me go out tomorrow, and I'm going to go run 26.2 miles when I haven't run at all and I'm still wearing my heels. You know, it just doesn't work. So how can we change ourselves? So I pulled up some of the research. I love science. I love research. And I picked one that was, I'll tell you, it's from liveboldandbloom.com, if you want to look it up. liveboldandbloom.com. Because they brought it to such an understandable, short, quick way of trying to say, how do I change? And they say this is really for any kind of change, be it physical, emotional, spiritual. These are steps that tend to help people. And there are six. They're pretty easy. The first one, start small. Let's go back to that marathon. If I want to run a marathon and I'm wearing high heels today, first I need to go out and get the right pair of shoes, right? That would help. And I need to start, if I haven't been up off my couch in forever, I need to just start walking. And then after I've walked for a while, then maybe I can start running a little bit. And then maybe I can start running a little bit further. And if I do that over maybe the course of a year, you know, depending on a whole bunch of things, it might be shorter, might be longer, I might be able to finally run a marathon. But only if I started small. It's even for healthy weight. They say the first thing you can probably do is just make yourself drink 4 more cups of water a day. If you want to have a healthy weight, don't worry about all the other stuff. For the first week or 2 or 3 or 4, just concentrate on drinking more water. And once that becomes a habit, whatever it is you started small at, once you get it into your daily routine, and we'll talk more about how you do that, then over time, at a minimum, 15 days, a minimum for one small change to become a habit. And that's if you're lucky. For some people, it's like me, it's a lot longer. So start small. Break anything you want to do down into small goals. So let's say it's a spiritual goal. I want to be more generous. Help me out. What's something I could do that's small, starting in January, to be more generous? Say thank you. Okay. Help me realize how much I have. Maggie. Share food. So bring in a box of cereal every week to church. That's a fairly inexpensive way of starting to be more generous. Other thoughts? What's a step I could take? Be kind to someone. Find somebody who has a need and just be willing to help. You know, I read these stories and I think, oh, how beautiful. Well, maybe I could be a part of one of those where you pay for the person behind you purchase. You know, and maybe it's not a big thing. Maybe it's a cup of coffee. Maybe I'm at McDonald's and it's, you know, hey, that Happy Meal for that kid, that's on me. Here's the money for it. But something like that. Will you just, okay, so start small. The next thing, and this one's the interesting part. This is where I think I've failed a lot by not doing this, is have a trigger. The trigger means something that I'm already doing. What's a daily habit that I already have? And let's tie the new habit to that daily habit. So I brush my teeth every morning. What if, let's say I wanted to get healthier and I needed to drink more water, that when I brush my teeth, I drink 16 ounces of water? Or maybe I start by just drinking 8 ounces. Let's get easy. I'm just going to drink 8 ounces of water at first every morning. And after I get used to doing that, maybe I'll up it to 12 and then to 16. But brushing my teeth would become the trigger for drinking the water. Because, again, research shows that if you tie a new habit that you want to make to an old habit that you currently do, it becomes much easier. Your morning cup of coffee. If I want to pray more, maybe what I do is say, okay, because I'm pretty good. I get up, I go outside, I get the newspaper, I bring it inside, I drink my coffee, eat my cereal, and read the newspaper. So maybe if I want to pray more often, what I could do is say, when I come back in with the morning newspaper and sit down, before I eat, I'm going to pray for 3 minutes. So what is a trigger in your life that you could tie a new habit to? Changing the bird cage. Okay. Feeding the dog. Yeah. Yeah, they're good at reminding you when it's time to eat, too. It's hard to forget that one. Other triggers in your life that you could go, it's a daily habit, something that's already just a part of your life that you could tie something new to. Yes. Taking medicine. Okay, yeah, for those of us on a daily dose of something, definitely. When I take my pill, I'm going to do X, Y, or Z. So yeah, have that trigger. For me, you all notice me, and sometimes you'll even notice me at work, and during meetings, I will sit there doing this. Because this is also, it has an automatic trigger built in. It tells me, hey, at 10 minutes to the hour, if I haven't met my goal for that hour, it's like, you have more steps to do. And there are apps you can get, even for prayer, not that I have one, but I've heard, there are apps you can put on your phone that will beep up and say, hey, time to do, or have you X, Y, or Z'd yet? So, you know, as they say, there's an app for anything. There's an app for that. So if you need that as a trigger, remember that that's there. The next one is reward yourself. Now, how many thought that was going to be part of getting a new habit? Especially a spiritual habit. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to do something good, and because I did something good, I'm supposed to do something good back for myself? Yes. We do that with children. We teach children a lot through rewards. As I mentioned, I have these puppies at home now. Lots of rewards, but it works. At one point, I wasn't rewarding them for having gone outside and did their business, and they got not quite as good at doing it. The minute I started doing that reward every time, wow, did they start right back in doing what I wanted them to do. So for me, I'll just share, I did want to get healthier. Some of you knew I had this accident. I fell off my roof some years ago, broke a lot of bones. And my doctor said, look, you know, you're going to need to keep yourself in shape because otherwise the results of that accident, consequences could come back to haunt you. But if you can keep yourself healthy and in good core strength and all, you should be fine. So I wear this thing, and I love ice cream. I love chocolate, and I love ice cream, especially chocolate ice cream. So I have a step goal every day, and my thing is, if I meet my step goal, I can have my half cup of ice cream. If I don't meet my step goal, no ice cream. I meet my step goal most days. And because I do, I'm getting the exercise in that I can eat the half cup of ice cream, and it's not an issue. But from a spiritual viewpoint, let's step back. First of all, there's a part of me that kind of felt, oh, wow, that feels weird to reward myself for doing something I think I should be doing anyways. But research says you're going to do better. Now, that reward could be, guess what? A gold star on a calendar. Amazingly, that works with adults too. It does. Even on here, on the days I meet my step goal, part of it is I get a star on that day. And if I scroll back through, I can see the days I got a star and the days I didn't. So if you're thinking, okay, I don't want to do anything like ice cream because that feels odd to me for, you know, saying my prayer every day that I think I should do. For every day that you meet your goal, put a star on your calendar. Do something. Do something that just is, oh yeah, I did it. It does work. And it can be something like listening to a favorite piece of music. It can be taking a 5 minutes to yourself when it's sometimes you're busy with small kids, and that's a really hard thing to do. But you know what? I've earned my 5 minutes, and I'm going to help the family understand that this is mom's reward or dad's reward. So, or playing a game on a computer, whatever it is that allows you to just say, hey, I did this. I'm going to celebrate that I did this today. All right. Create accountability. What does that remind y'all of? Weight Watchers is what it reminds me of. But it does. It's like, share. If you're going to do something, you're going to make a change in your life, one of the best things you can do is share with other people around you that you're working to make that change. People kind of look at me funny when I get up in the middle of a meeting at work and start doing this. But they know why I'm doing it, and they support me in doing it. And now every once in a while they'll say, hey, have you gotten your steps in yet? You haven't gotten up to run yet. So how could we share with each other? Like, I want to be more generous. I've told you all that now, right? You all know that. That's a goal of mine for this year. So I invite you, when you see me this coming year, say, hey, Carolyn, how's it going? How's the generosity going? Do you have any stories you want to share with me, Carolyn, about that? Because it will. It will help me. If you're asking me about it, and I know that when I come here and see you all, that someone's going to say, hey, Carolyn, how's it going? And I can be honest with you, and that's part of being a Christian believer with you, is we can be honest with each other. Say, you know what? This wasn't a great week. I really didn't do so good this week. And for someone to be able to say, well, that's, you know what? You can do better next week. But let's talk now. What do you think you can do next week to do better? But to be there for each other. So does anyone have anything, and I'm putting you on the spot, and I know it, and you're not going to force anyone to answer, but does anyone have anything they want to share here that you'd like others to help you be more accountable about? And some of us have already shared some things that we want to do more in our lives and we want to be better at. Is it okay, those of you who've shared, for others to check in with you on it? And if it's not, it's okay to say, you know what, I'm not there yet. Not there yet. But think about that. How can you share it? You know, this is the days of Facebook. I'm not a big Facebook person, but I know a lot of people are. You know, that's one way to share. If you want your family to be helpful, maybe just put it up somewhere where they can see it. Share it with them. but invite people. And that's why, again, the whole Weight Watchers thing, I think, you know, when you go to the meeting and you step on the scale and everybody at the meeting, you know, here's what's on the scale. It's a way of sharing that with each other and being more than outside ourselves. Again, it really works. So are there some people in your life that could help you? Who do you think? So the elderly neighbor downstairs, yeah. You know, for me, it is my colleagues at work, too. They help me. All right. So here's the next part. This one is the relief part. Prepare for disruptions. Life is life. Even with the best laid plans, things are going to happen that will throw us off track at times, that will take our focus away from where we thought we wanted to be and what we thought we wanted to be doing to somewhere, something else. There's a reason that, for instance, many diet plans now build in a day or at least a few meals a week that you can go off the diet and eat whatever you want. A lot of exercise programs, like on my here, it wants me to meet 150 minutes of cardiac exercise a week. Well, I don't have to do that all in one day. I can do that in 5 days, 30 minutes a day. You know, I can break it up. So part of it is giving yourself a chance for some off times. Colossians reminds us that saying about forgiveness, that in the midst of all of us perhaps looking and wanting to live our lives more fully and faithfully, that we are going to mess up. We are not going to be as generous as we should. We are not going to listen as well as we should without judging. We are going to look at somebody, and because of the way they look, we're going to jump to some conclusions at times. It's not that that's okay, but it is part of the whole process. Any athlete will tell you, any musician will tell you that with the best of intentions, you're going to hit times where you don't practice as often as you should. You don't go out and get out in the field and do as much as you should. That is life, and it is, don't let us stop doing what we want to do because we've not been able to do it as consistently as we thought we would. So then the last one. This is the hardest one, I think. Be patient. Wouldn't it be neat if I want to run a marathon and I could go out tomorrow and run a marathon? Wouldn't that be wonderful? It ain't happening. Not with this body. So you have to, we have to give ourselves time. Remember I mentioned earlier the 15 days that to start a new habit, the very, very best you can think of to do, and this is a really easy new habit perhaps, is 15 days. Anything that's a little bit difficult or challenging typically is going to take at a minimum 3 to 6 months to make into a new habit. 3 to 6 months. So, give yourself time. Start small. Remember that one. Let's go back here again. Have a trigger. Reward yourself. Create accountability. Prepare for disruptions, but then be patient. Because it is going to take a long time, especially when I'm talking some type of Christian discipline, a faith, an act of faith, an act of love or generosity, that's going to take me probably all year to make into a true habit where I'm not second-guessing myself or trying to remind myself, but where I'm just able to do it freely without thinking twice about it. So, I hope over the coming year, as we all get to be with each other, perhaps at joint worship services, perhaps at wonderful events out in the community or Sunday school or other times when we join together, that we can be there to help each other grow and love and live that Christian life that we talk about in Colossians as fully as possible.
Thank you.
because these candles remind us that light indeed shines no matter when. The candle of God's love is there. Let us move into this world knowing that God indeed brings good tidings to all people. And may the God who comes through the child Jesus bless the child into each of us and receive the blessings that we return. Amen.